bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a world darkened with sin. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an outreach ministry of the Progressive Primitive Baptists. Our purpose at the Lighthouse is to present you the truth of God's Word and its relevancy for your daily living. We want to help equip you to light your world with the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. Hello, my name is Scott Ryan, and I invite you to join us now as we study God's Word together. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today at the Lighthouse. I'm your host and radio Bible teacher, Scott Reiner. Today, our study comes from Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 7, a very familiar passage of Scripture, where Christ gives two essential qualities for following Him, that is, for being a disciple. First of all, a person must deny himself, and then secondly, a person must take up his cross. So to learn more, we invite you to join with us for today's study. Our study today comes from Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter, verses 24 through 27. A fairly familiar passage of Scripture. But the main point that we want to focus on today is that this involves a call, a very distinct call, to anyone who would be a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, whenever we think about being a follower of Christ, the term that we normally use is disciple or discipleship. Discipleship and salvation are like two sides of the same coin. Salvation can be said to be subjective. It is what God does for us or in us as He brings us to a point of salvation, of being rescued from the guilt of our sins. The flip side, discipleship, is salvation lived outwardly. In other words, what Christ does for us is revealed openly and outwardly as we live consistently with that profession of faith that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. So the bottom line is that there is really no discipleship without salvation, and there is no salvation without discipleship. If a person claims salvation in Jesus Christ, the necessary and the expected result is a life of discipleship. The one who calls Jesus Savior also calls Him Lord. And by that we simply mean that he gives his life over to Jesus Christ, to His power, to His authority, and we live under the directives of Jesus Christ. So here in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 27, Jesus speaks very openly, very concise about anyone who would follow after Him. So with those thoughts, read with me from Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 24. By inspiration, we have recorded these words. Then Jesus told His disciples, "If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and forfeits his own soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with His angels in the glory of His Father, and then He will repay each person according to what he has done." Now, in this opening statement in verse 24, Jesus presents two conditions in following Him. First of all, that individual must deny himself. And then secondly, he must take up his cross. Now, let's begin to focus upon this first condition, denying one's self. In essence, this is a question of power or control. That is, who is going to control your life? What is going to be the authority of your life? In other words, do you want to control your life? Or are you willing to give that control over to someone else? Namely, Jesus Christ. Now, this is something that is a struggle because by instinct, by the effects of remaining or indwelling sin, the natural desire is to want to control our life. We want to be in the driver's seat. We want to make all of the choices and decisions. And it's a very frightening and sobering thought to give that control over to someone else. Because to deny yourself, which by the way does not mean to deny yourself certain things necessarily, although that is part of what it means to be a follower of Christ. But here it states very clearly that we are to deny ourselves. And so quite literally, that means we are to deny ourselves that position of being in control over our life. So coming to that point of denying ourselves requires that we have trust, that we have faith, also that we have obedience. Now that trust, that faith, of course, is to be directed towards Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is King. He is the one that has power. And He not only rules over the entire created order, it is also His purpose, His will, to rule in the lives of His people. And in order for Christ to effectively rule in our lives, we must deny ourselves. We must deny ourselves that position. Because you see, when we speak about this authority in one's life, ultimately, there are only two possible answers. And that is Christ ruling over us, or we choose to rule over ourselves. But the problem is that when it comes to this question of who is going to rule, there's also that vital principle of looking at what kind of rule Christ establishes and what kind of rule we would follow. You see, whenever we attempt to rule in our lives, it tends towards selfishness. It is also marked by limited knowledge and power. So we choose those things that we view as being in our best interest, or those things that will bring us the greatest amount of satisfaction. But in the process, our knowledge of these things tends to be very limited. And also, the power that we think we have is very limited. I mean, in fact, ultimately, we have no power apart from what God allows us to use. Now, on the other hand, whenever we speak about the rule of Christ, Christ's rule is marked by wisdom because of the absolute perfect knowledge that He has. And it's not just the knowledge that He has of all things that will affect us, but in His wisdom, He uses that knowledge for His greatest glory and for our betterment, for our growth, for our learning as a follower. Also, the power of Christ is unlimited. Jesus being God, being the eternal second person of the Godhead, possesses absolute power and authority. And He has chosen to exercise that on behalf of His people. And so as we give ourselves over to Christ, we give ourselves trusting in His wisdom and in His power. As well, of course, His love for us, His desire to want what is best for us. So when it comes to following Christ, no wonder Jesus presents this in very fundamental terms, that if you're going to follow Him, you must deny yourself. Now, why is denying self so necessary in following Jesus Christ? Well, this is just simply an extension of some things that we've already noted. First of all, it shows the reality of our love for Christ or the absence of it. It also shows the reality of our commitment to Christ or the absence of it. And it also shows the reality of our response to the profession of faith that we have made, that Jesus Christ is not only our Savior, but that He is our Lord. Or again, the absence of it. To the extent that we follow Christ, to the extent as we grow in following Christ, reveals the extent of our love for Him. It reveals the extent of our commitment to Him. And it reveals the extent that we are responding appropriately to the profession of our faith. So as we follow our own desires, our own dictates, we become the driving force of our life. This just simply reflects the way of the world, that we're not denying ourselves, but we are putting ourselves in the driver's seat, and we are attempting to satisfy those sinful desires that develop within us. We live based upon the principles of this world. And so, at best, we're being disobedient, and we need to repent of that and turn back to Christ. But at the worst, that may mean that we have not truly experienced God's wonderful saving grace in salvation. Because it is when we follow Christ that we are in essence following the way of the Savior. So the first condition in following Christ is that we must deny ourselves. The second thing involved in following Christ is that we must take up our cross. Now this is a very interesting phrase, because Jesus here is not being literal in the sense that we pick up a physical cross and follow after Him. But rather, this is metaphorical. Jesus is using a word picture here. You see, when it comes to the cross, we have to understand it from the perspective of Roman culture. Roman culture devised the cross as a means of capital punishment, that is, death. It was designed to be a very public thing. It was something that the Romans used to help control those that would attempt to revolt against the authority of Rome or to commit crimes against the empire. So it was a very public thing. It was a form of capital punishment, putting individuals to death. Secondly, from the Roman cultural perspective, the cross was designed to be a very slow and painful death. This was designed to help deter individuals from engaging in crimes against the empire. It was done publicly to show people that if you rebel against Rome, this is what is going to happen to you. It's not going to be a quick, painless death. It is going to be a very long, agonizing death. Extremely painful. And finally, this comes more from the Hebrew perspective, but the cross became an emblem of shame. It was a very humiliating and degrading type of thing. So when Jesus says, take up your cross, there is the element of death, there is the element of slowly dying, and there is the element of shame. So when Jesus says this, He uses this as a call to what some have said as being a total commitment to Him, even to the point of death. One writer indicates that Jesus is saying that following Him is not going to make you popular with the world. Following Jesus is not going to make you a lot of friends. In fact, it's going to cost you some friends. He is saying that following him puts a mark on you, a mark of someone who is different from the world. So when Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to take up your cross. On the one hand, this marks our identity with Christ. It means that we are so identified with Christ, not just simply a public profession, but as a way of life, that what was true for Jesus was true for us, in the sense that he was rejected and he was despised. And so the closer that you become to Christ, the more you become like Christ, the more the world will despise you. And so from the world's perspective, it is an element of shame. It marks you as being different. And the only ones that will want to be around you are the ones who think like you, those who love Jesus, those who want to follow him, those who want to serve him. And so anyone that is contemplating a life of following Christ needs to wake up and confront these very striking realities, that to follow Christ means that we have to deny ourselves, and it means that we have to take up our cross. Now, some people look at this and say, deny myself? Take up my cross? I mean, this seems to be very hard. Why does Jesus make it so difficult to follow him? Why can't I be a Christian on my own terms? Why can't I follow him the way that I want to follow him? Why do I have to give up authority in my life for him to be authority over my life? Why do I have to die to sin daily? Why do I have to so identify with Jesus? Can I be a follower and just not do it in a public way? If you have those types of thoughts, you're not the first to look at these types of things here that Jesus poses as the very essentials of being a disciple. You're not the first one to question these very stringent demands. Many people have struggled with these. Many people struggle with them in varying degrees. But the bottom line is that this is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Now, to make things easier on ourselves, sometimes people attempt to separate what we might call a profession of faith from a life of faith. That is, we try to separate faith from action. But we do so at our own peril, because the nature of faith demands action on our part, because that action reveals whether or not we truly believe what we say we believe. You see, we act as if we could believe in Jesus and be saved from our sins, but yet live an unchanged life. But that's an impossibility. You cannot truly believe in Jesus, have faith in Jesus, that is, believe the record of the testimony of the gospel about Jesus, about us and our sins, about the change that takes place within us, and continue to live the way that we have always lived. You see, Jesus never gave that option. He never said, all you have to do is come to an intellectual belief about me, and once you do that, you can continue to live as you've always lived. You can continue to live in sin, to enjoy sin. Because if we live in sin, that means that our hearts have not been changed by the power of God's Holy Spirit. We are yet in our sins. We are still spiritually dead. We are not spiritually alive. You see, Jesus Christ calls us. He demands of us to follow him, and to follow him regardless of the cost. Now, let me emphasize that again. Regardless of the cost. You see, it's interesting that in this section, there are three phrases that begin with the term for. Verse 25, 26, and 27. And the term for is an explanative term, and so it explains the reasons why a disciple must let go of his earthly life and take up his cross to be identified with Jesus. First of all, in verse 25, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That is, the person that would save his life, that is, who would live for himself, who would attempt self-preservation, who would make things easier for themselves, who would focus upon selfish agendas, this person is actually going to lose their life. But on the flip side, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That is, the person who gives his life over to the authority of Christ, who does what Christ says instead of what they want, will begin to find what true living is all about, because they will live for the glory of Christ, for what we were initially created for, going all the way back to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were created for God, but in their fall, that whole shift, that whole perspective became distorted. And instead of living their life for God, they began to live it for themselves. And this is one of the premier marks of sin, and that is selfish orientation in living. Secondly, in verse 26, for what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and forfeit his own soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? That is, his life, not just his physical life, but his life as it relates to eternity. What profit, what gain is there if a person gains the whole world? That is, if you gain the power, if you gain the wealth, the money of this world, the pleasures, if you have all of that, if that is what you spent your life looking for, how is that going to help you at the end when you die? All of those things will mean absolutely nothing, because there is nothing that we can give in return for our soul when it is lost. The soul can only be found or rescued or saved by Jesus Christ. And when he rescues a soul, that soul is to be directed towards him. And then finally, for the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. In other words, the reason that we are to take up our cross and deny ourselves is because there is coming a day of judgment. For those that have not taken up their cross, for those that have not denied themselves, that is a mark of the unbelieving world. Regardless of what you may say, regardless of what you may call yourself, if you live like the world, then you are part of the world, and you do not belong to Jesus Christ. Now, in this passage, we're not talking about a salvation based upon works, but ultimately, we're emphasizing the nature and the purpose of God's grace that he graciously gives. It is a grace that rescues us from the guilt of our sins. It places us in a position of relationship with the Lord. It involves a radical change in a person's life by the new birth that the Holy Spirit gives. And it is marked by a life of faith that believes, and a life that demonstrates that belief by action. So if you claim to be a Christian, by necessity, there must be a life of discipleship, of being a follower of Jesus Christ. So the questions are, have we denied ourselves so that Christ can rightfully rule and reign in our lives? Christ's reign is not to be feared. It is to be relished, because he is a great king. He has a great love for his people, and he exercises his kingship over us with great love and care, as well as in great wisdom. Are we taking up our cross daily to be identified with Jesus? Are we daily dying to sin? Are we so identified with Jesus that when people look at our lives, they can clearly see Jesus? They clearly see that we love him and that we want to follow him. If not, what is it that they do see? A person who claims to be a Christian in name only? A person who lives selfishly, who lives no different from the world? A person whose life is just like everyone else's? They have the same values, they have the same interests, they have the same priorities? God forbid. But may they see someone who is serious about their love and their commitment to Jesus, and they want to give their lives over to him so that they can be found faithful. Until next week, may the Lord bless you, is our prayer.
You have been listening to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an evangelistic ministry of the Primitive Baptist Churches of the Southeastern United States. We encourage you to attend one of these churches whenever possible. This radio ministry and its supporters are committed to the authority, the inerrancy, and the divine inspiration of God's holy word, to the Saviorhood of Jesus Christ, as well as to his Lordship, and that salvation is by God's grace alone. We hope this program has had a positive spiritual influence in your life. If it has, please write us and let us know. We encourage you to be with us next week at this same time. To find out more information about the Lighthouse, you can visit us at our website at www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. That's all one word and in all lowercase letters. Once again, that's www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. Please take a moment and visit us at our website. This program exists because evangelistically minded people like you contribute to it. If you would like to help us bring the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world, then write us at The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Once again, that's The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. We would love to hear from you. Until next week, this is Scott Reiner encouraging you to light your world.